And okay, welcome to the Sunday night. There is a solution, newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered to the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. And now I would love to welcome Susan SH, a compulsive overeater from Ohio.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I'm honored to be here. I'm humbled to be here. I want to start with a prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, about my disease, about others, and about you, dear God, so I may have an open mind and a new experience with all these things. Please help me see the truth. Please give me the right words that will be helpful to someone. Amen. Okay, I'm Susan SH. I live in Ohio, St. Mary's, Ohio, and I've been, well, I spent a year and a half going to meetings. Well, I guess I should start a little farther. I'm a real compulsive overeater, definitely. My highest weight was probably when I was in my 40s, and that was 285, at which point I quit getting on the scale. I've been overweight since I was probably in second grade, but I was a compulsive eater before that. So I don't know when it started or exactly how, but I think perhaps there are a few other compulsive eaters in my family. My parents, I had both parents. We had a fairly large family. I was the last of five children by about 10 years, so I was a surprise. My oldest brother was mentally ill, and that put a strain on our family. And we were pretty poor, the truth is, which I didn't realize until I got to kindergarten. In kindergarten, somebody said, "Samson, you're poor." And I thought I had to think about it then. So I thought about it a lot at school. And yeah, that made school a little difficult. And then I started getting chubby about second grade, and that made things even more fun. So school was difficult. My family was just my family. I felt loved. Yeah. But as I got older, not really wiser, I realized that I could make more friends and influence more people if I did some of the things that were really not accepted in my family. If I went ahead and ran around with the wild crowd, picked up smoking at the time, I drank for a while. And I ended up married and pregnant when I was 17. Now, that was a God thing because I married to the right man. He has loved me through all these waits. And we're still together 57 years later, 52 years later. So, yeah, grateful for that. I've been through a lot of diets. I've been on a lot of diets, which I'm sure you all have too. Some were effective while I could do them until I couldn't do them anymore. And that day always came. It always did come. I very successful with some of them. One pay and way, I lost over 100 pounds. until I couldn't do it anymore. And then my heart was breaking again because it was so humiliating to do that. And I did it so many times. No matter how much the humiliation or the pain it cost, I still couldn't stop. I couldn't stop completely. Or once I started, I couldn't stop eating. I think I had probably my first gallbladder attack when I was about 15. I had eaten a whole bag of potato chips before I went to sleep. It was horrible. And yeah, I had gallbladder surgery when I was in my 20s, mid-20s, 25, 26, something like that. Well, anyway, that's young to lose your gallbladder, but I know what did it. That's how I ate. I ate terribly. I ate what I wanted to the. So I really left out meals. Although if mom cooked them, I'd eat that too. But so I went to one OA meeting when I was in my 20s. And they said no flour, no sugar. And I thought, that's not going to happen. Plus, I was very uncomfortable with how cheery and chirpy everybody was there. Everybody was happy and no flour, no sugar. I didn't think I'd be very happy doing that. So I didn't go back for over 30 years. But after all the diets and all the successes and failures of the diets, I thought, well, maybe I'll try out one more time. And I went to a meeting in the nearby town. Now, when I'd been in my 20s, there was a good sized meeting in my town, maybe 15 women. There was no longer when I went back. I went to the next town and it was a pretty small meeting. And two older guys that they were actually both AA people, but they had an eating problem. And so they started a meeting. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of recovery in that meeting. But, you know, what I heard from other people, the things that they said about eating, they were just as crazy as the things I thought about eating. They were just as crazy as the things I had done about eating. And that pulled me in. And it kept me going to meetings for a year and a half. Well, in that year and a half, I gained another 20 pounds. I was hearing the message, or part of the message. I was hearing that I wasn't alone in my craziness. And that was worth anything, really, to me. So after that year and a half that I wasn't really getting anywhere, I started listening to A Vision for You. Well, probably about a year after I had been to the meetings, I started listening to A Vision for You, which is a telephone meeting that I love and I go to often. And I heard a lot of recovery. I heard a whole lot of recovery. And so about the time I was out of patience and fearful and desperate because I couldn't lose weight, I was still gaining weight. So what good was it doing me? In desperation, I put my name out as a newcomer. And within a few days, I got a sponsor. And I had looked all over for how I could possibly do these steps without a sponsor, without anyone telling me what to do. I just, yeah, I'm a little touchy about things like that. But I found a sponsor who was exactly the right sponsor for me at the time. She was not afraid to suggest what I should be doing, what would help me. And she helped me pretty quickly work through the steps. She was aiming for 4 weeks. I think I dragged my feet a little bit and it took a little longer. But yeah. So that's what things were like. Oh, I have one horrible story to tell about my compulsive eating when I was working. I was working nights at the hospital and they had tenderloins that night. And I had one. And it was a busy night, but I had time to eat. And I wolfed it down and thought, that tasted a little odd. But I didn't think too much about it. So I went ahead and ate my cookies. And then in the middle of a delivery, Not my delivery, thank goodness, but I was there to help. I had to run out and vomit. And it was food poisoning. Anyone that is not as compulsive as I am about eating would have noticed that off taste, and they would have stopped. But I want to eat, I got to eat, so I eat it quick and got my little charge and back to work. But I couldn't work that night. I had to go home, and I had to stop several times on the way home and vomit. It was pretty awful. And yeah, it's hard to believe. I have eaten candies out of the freezer. I have scraped things that were somewhat burnt off the pan and eaten them. And I'm not proud of any of that. But I don't look down on the person who did that. I had a disease, and I still do have that disease, but I don't have to live like that today. And I'm so glad that I don't have to live like that today. What changed were the steps. I was not too sure about the whole God thing when I got here. And I didn't know how I was going to be able to recover if I had to believe in God. I wasn't sure what I thought about God. And one member of the group asked me, why didn't I make a laundry list of what I wanted in God? And I thought that was kind of sounded sacrilegious to me, but I thought about it. What I had heard in searching, I have searched for a higher power and thought I found him and then fell away from it. Thought I found him, fell away from it. But what I heard that I always wanted and I never quite felt like I found was unconditional love. That is exactly what I want in a higher power. And today, that is exactly what I have found as my higher power. I have released, let's see, around 90 pounds, 85, 90 pounds. And that happened pretty quickly. And I haven't had to change sizes yet. And I have been recovered for almost 9 years now. What keeps me coming back, what keeps me here, is that when I have difficulties, when I have problems, I have clear-cut directions that help me to navigate these problems. I can't always like get rid of them right away, but I can navigate them. I can use the steps and ask my higher power in. I am extremely grateful for that. I use it every day. I don't, some days more than others. I've been caregiving for my husband. He had a knee replacement, oh, a little over a month ago. And it's not the piece of cake that I imagined it was going to be. I get aggravated. I get irritated. I get fearful. But I can take these things, and the answer is always the same, take these things to my higher power. I kind of really have a lot to say about a 10th step. It has meant so much to me. My initial sponsor for a while had me send her a 10th step every day, one way or another, call or text or something, because I wouldn't do it. And I'm so glad that she did. I also use an app called GroupMe, and I can share a 10th step almost any time of the day. But I have learned over the years that even if I can't share it right away with a person, I share it with my higher power. I admit my character defects. I tell the truth to my higher power, and he is right there with me. Sometimes when I take my 10th step directly to my higher power, and I usually do, my initial sponsor would always ask me first when I would run to her with a 10th step, have you talked to your higher power about it? And the answer was not always yes. I wasn't really as aware of a higher power as I am today. But I have found that when I turn to a higher power, eventually I get an answer, or eventually I am relieved of that, but I almost always learn something. I think that it's a quote in the AA 12 and 12 that I love. Well, one of them is that we learned that if we were seriously disturbed, our first need was to quiet that disturbance, regardless of who or what we thought caused it. So, thus, I go to a 10th step. And this is one that I remember and I bring up often. Oh no, that's not the one. That's not the one. That's the spiritual axiom that every time we are disturbed, no matter what, there's something wrong with us. So I lost that I was trying to think of, and now my brain quit working and I probably won't be able to think of, but oh yeah, pain. Pain is the touchstone of all spiritual growth. You know, those disturbances, those things that sometimes feel like it's just the end of the world, are not. They aren't. And by working a 10 step, as I was taught, I get to let go of it. I see that I can let go and it will pass. So whatever it is, it will pass. So I've had a good deal of 10 steps to share on my beloved husband, on my children who are all adults, on myself from time to time. Sometimes I just fall into a fit of self-pity. It can be about anything. My kids don't come over. I don't get enough of this. We could stand more money, but you know, I should be used to that by now. But the fact is, I can look also at step six and seven, especially when it comes to that self-pity. I look at it and I ask God, is this doing me any good? Is this something I need right now? Is it doing anyone else any good? And I usually know the answer to that is really no. And then the seven step prayer. I can ask God to take it, along with any character defects that are blocking me from being helpful to my fellows. So that's what has changed. My initial sponsor moved, and then she moved to a place in Arizona where there was no signal. So we really couldn't talk much. And she told me I should probably find another sponsor. And I thought, no. I think I'm okay. I think I will work at this and it'll be okay. I'll work it the way I've been working it. And for the most part it was. I depend a lot on others, people in my fellowship. I was not a fellowship kind of person in my old life, definitely not. But I have come to trust that I need this fellowship and I do desire this fellowship. So anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. I'm sidetracking myself again, but that's where GroupMe comes in, and the people I've talked to from A Vision for You. I have called people that I've heard talking and asked them what they think about certain things. And it was okay while it was okay, but I kept feeling restless, irritable, discontent that maybe I did actually need another sponsor. And at present, I do have one, and she's here tonight. I'm so happy. I'm grateful that I have someone to turn to with these things after I've turned to God with them. that I have someone to send my nightly review to. I've never given up on that nightly review. Step 10, it's kind of a gray area whether the nightly review is part of 10 or 11, 10 or 11. But I'm not the police on that one. Whatever it is, I do that because it helps me. What I do today, I pray and meditate in the morning when I wake up. And that works very well for me. It has helped me immensely. I go to meetings. I help with the meetings when I can. And yeah, I got to chair my coffee and recovery meeting this morning, and I really enjoy that meeting too. I've never chaired on a Vision for You, but I'm a reader now and then, and sometimes I'm a newcomer greeter, and I enjoy that service very much. I enjoy talking with others. I enjoy hearing others' 10 steps. It helps right size me. I'm not better than everybody, and lo and behold, I'm not worse than everybody either. So I'm grateful for where I am today. I'm grateful for the steps exactly as they are. I do work them every day. And I always look at, okay, I'm going to go ahead and read step 6 and 7 because they are so short and they are so useful to me. Okay, if we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them, every one? Take them all, every one. If we still cling to something, we will not let go. We ask God to help us be willing. When that self-pity first hits me, I'm not always willing right away to let go of it. I just feel too sorry for myself. I enjoy that, the pity I give myself. And unfortunately, I know it's only going to harm my day. It's going to harm my relationships. I don't need that. And so I read through it. When ready, we say something like this: My Creator, I'm now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We have then completed step 7. Well, I've completed step 7 many, many times. I'm not proud of the fact that I fall into self-pity again, but when I do that and I find that it has lifted, it's like unconditional love. I'm still loved, even though that comes back again and again. And I know what to do with it now. I can take it to my higher power. So, I had my most recent thing that was a God moment was I had a sponsee that I care about, and I just she. It was a she was Pacific time and I'm Eastern time, and that's hard to make that work. And the only time she had free was early. That's when I like to a sponsor, so we did it early, but it was so early for her, and that led to being unable to call very often. So well, we did. I asked God, and I asked God, and I asked God, and I read working with others, and I asked God some more because I just wasn't sure what to do with it. And yeah, she was happy to finish page 164 and finish straight. And she doesn't really want anything more from me. And that's okay. That was the answer that I got. I get those answers every once in a while, and it's always amazing when it happens. And it's always, I know it's from God. There was a retreat in my area a couple weeks ago. Yeah, a little more than a couple weeks ago. And I was really looking forward to it. This is where I met my current sponsor. And I always love those things. There haven't been many ever since COVID. So I was looking forward to it, but we were only 3 weeks out from my husband's surgery. And I thought, well, maybe we think he's going to be ready for that. And I prayed about, and I prayed about that all week because I was going to go, but I had that just a bit of an icky feeling about it. And I should learn. I should know, but I wasn't sure. I wanted the answer, yes. But the answer was that my husband surprised me a couple days before by admitting he really didn't want to be left alone yet. And he's not one to do that. No, he's more, yeah, I'm good. You don't have to worry about me. I'm good. That was his tack most of the time. But that him asking me to stay was such a clear-cut answer to the prayers that I was amazed, and I shared it and I talked about it. And yeah, I'm glad I can do that. I'm glad I can share it when I get those solutions. And I've come to find out there's always some solution. But I'm not the author of it. I can't be the author of it as much as I want to be. I want to work out things for myself. But when I am disturbed, when I am confused, I turn these things over to my
Five
higher power.
minutes.
Thank you very much. I turn these things over to my higher power and I get help. And it still amazes me. And I hope I've made a couple of good examples that can be understood. But I know what I know what I know. And what I know is that I have a higher power who loves me unconditionally, loves every face I see unconditionally. And yeah, I just have to turn to him and keep moving. Now, before we close, I want to read step 10 because it's so simple. Now, there's a lot more to it in the AA 12 and 12, but in the big book, it is one beautiful paragraph that I use. And I go back and look at it. If I'm not sure if I'm being thorough, I go back and look at it. Okay, this thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. And my initial sponsor had me mark them off, number them. One, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Two, we ask God at once to remove them. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. Three, we discuss them with someone immediately. And make amends quickly is number four, if we've harmed anyone. Then we, five, resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And my initial sponsor, bless her heart, would then ask me, okay, now who are you going to help? That's the most important ingredient here is reaching out to help someone. And it is, because it takes me out of that problem. So I'm grateful for enough words to fill a half hour, and I hope that there was something in this to help someone that needed to hear what I had to say. But it definitely helped me to review what life is like now. And it's really beyond my wildest dreams. I never thought I would have the help that I have today. And yeah, I'm just very grateful. I came for the vanity, but I stayed for the sanity. And I'm just going to go ahead and pass there. I think I've just used up all the words I can. So thank you so much for listening. And thank you for the opportunity, and I will pass.